shielded. If there is a greater Republican representation in Congress anytime soon, maybe at some point they'd have the votes to actually change the structure of the bureau. So, yeah, it was designed to be shielded, but who knows how long it could stay that way.
All right, to Gig Harper, Washington. Good morning, Rex.
Good morning. I was calling just to make a couple of points of reference. You guys were talking about kind of what sparked the product of the financial crisis. And I was in the mortgage industry during the uprun to the financial crisis. And I always said that we weren't the cause of it. We were a product of an environment that allowed it to happen. I know the stuff that was being sold to investors as grade A paper, and I knew what was on that paper, and it was not grade A. The manipulations that were done for borrowers that wanted to borrow these massive amounts of money, and it was pushed on us to, hey, we didn't get our values, so call your appraiser and get another $40,000 in value so you can make this loan work. There were companies that would take the credit report that you printed off without running another one, even 30 days after the fact, when you know that the credit has gone down substantially, that things have gone into collections, and they'll accept that credit report. The ARM mortgage, you know, it's great for certain purposes, but we were told to sell it as this is what it is, and there's a thing called a truth in lending page. And on a lot of the adjustable rate mortgages, it was set up so it looked almost like it was a fixed rate at half the cost of what a 30-year fixed mortgage would be. And they sold it to us on the justification that, well, you don't know what the rate index is going to go up to, so we just leave that as this.
Wow. Maya.
Well, that's some of what Elizabeth Warren has said she wants to address at the Consumer Bureau. Not exactly what he's talking about, but more of the fine print and helping borrowers understand what they're getting into, making prices more transparent.
And to Raphael in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning. Diane, I have a question for you. I own a commercial janitorial business. If my employees do a bad job, should I blame my supervisors, or is it my responsibility as the owner? I think it is my responsibility. I was listening to Senator Frank pointing fingers and calling people names at the Federal Reserve, like things that they were asleep at the wheel. This is something that happened over years, and the Federal Reserve does report to someone. Whose responsibility was it really that the Federal Reserve was not doing its job?
Travis.
Well, the president appoints the members of the board of the Federal Reserve, but it should be noted that the Federal Reserve is designed to be independent. Those terms are for a very long period of time. They cut across presidential administrations. And ultimately, I think the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve was responsible for their failures. Chief among them, the head of the Board of Governors, who was Alan Greenspan for a very long period of time.
Maya, if President Obama continues to hold off in naming Elizabeth Warren as head of this Consumer Protection Bureau, who are the other names that are up there being considered?
There have been other names. I mean, Sarah Bloom Raskin, who is currently on the Fed, although it seems odd that she would leave the Fed position to run the Bureau. But she's obviously been able to get through the confirmation process. And then there's also, it looks like some of the other people that they've reached out to, ex-governors, other attorneys general, have turned down the position because it seems like something that Elizabeth Warren would want to run and should run. So some people have backed off because of that. And so, I mean, time is running out. It seems like there's no other choice but for the president to nominate Warren. And given that it would be unlikely for the Senate to sign off on her in such a short period of time, a recess appointment seems likely.
Mark.
Well, first of all, I mean, the president has had a number of months, almost a year, to come up with a nominee. And certainly I think it's irresponsible not to have put a name forward. And that's only one of many nominations that have been filled. I mean, I hear a lot about Republicans blocking nominees. You can't block a nomination that hasn't been sent up yet. So I do encourage the president to send up a name. Certainly, I would agree as well that Raskin is one of those these names who could get through. She's a former Sarbanes staffer. People know her. Senator Shelby knows her, likes her. They could get her through. She works on consumer issues at the Fed. That's primarily her expertise. She's been a bank regulator, ran bank regulation in Maryland. So to me, she's somebody who is actually very similar to Elizabeth Warren. I mean, I would be no happier with her than I would be Elizabeth Warren, but she could get through the Senate.
You want a commission, Travis.
Well, this is a point I'd agree with Mark on. We'd like to see the president send somebody, nominate somebody right away.
Why do you think he hasn't?
Well, he's in a bind. That's why. It's a tough decision. Because on the one hand, you have a Senate that increasingly is not going to, in my opinion, move anybody who would strongly enforce consumer protection at the CFPB. On the other hand, you've got Elizabeth Warren and others who might do a very strong job being very popular, and financial reform in general being very popular with the American public and with constituencies that want strong consumer protection. Plus, he's been focused on other things. However, this delay has been a problem. The president needs to nominate somebody right away.
Do you think he will, Maya?
I think he would have to. I mean, the Bureau's powers are at risk. So if there isn't a director in place come July 21st, when the Bureau's set to get all of its powers, it might not get all those powers. So the ability to go after these payday loans and to look at them and supervise them and oversee them would be limited, or it wouldn't be there. So you have to get a director in place by July 21st for the Bureau to have all of its powers.
I see. Maya Jackson Randall is with Dow Jones Newswires. You're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. And let's go now to Quincy, Illinois. Good morning, James.
Good morning. My question is in regards to the Federal Reserve. A few years ago, they stopped publishing M3 data. From my understanding, M3 data was meant to kind of understand more of the speculation and hedging going on as far as the Federal Reserve's action to it. I was wondering if that has played any role as far as the financial crisis.
What do you think, Maya?
I do not know enough about the M3 data.
Okay. How about you, Mark?
First, I mean, economists spend a tremendous amount of time arguing what you look at, M1, M2, or M2 minus small deposit.
Tell me what M1, M2.
The way to understand it is that M1 starts with the fairly narrow definition of money, which is essentially cash and deposits. And then as you get M2, M3, it becomes broader and broader, so it includes elements that are less and less liquid. Does that makes sense.
That helps.
And so M3 is sort of the broadest measure of money. I think there was feeling that some of the things in M3, like, say, CDs, were simply not liquid, that you weren't going to go out and cash them, so that it was a lot of noise. I do think that there are, again, arguments about how much liquidity was in the system. So I do think it's a reasonable debate, but I don't think that it was a driver in terms of dropping the coverage of M3.
Travis?
It's not something I've looked at, so I couldn't venture an opinion there.
Okay, and to Cincinnati, Ohio. Good morning, James.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I've done a lot of studying about this, and, you know, it's really come to the point in this country where the financial system is almost something akin to a mafia at this point. I mean, with the rolling back of all the New Deal things like Glass-Steagall, it's just to the point where it's really run like a mafia. The banks, they do whatever they want. They have an infinite amount of money to do what they want and thwart regulation at every turn. And the comment I'd like to make is we now have the biggest disparity in income almost in this country's history. Do you think it has anything to do with how badly the financial system in this country is tilted toward the rich?
And I think a number of people who were calling in wanted to know about Glass-Steagall and whether it had not been repealed, would we have found ourselves in this situation? Travis.
Well, Glass-Steagall was a Depression-era law enacted just after the Great Depression that put limits on what various sectors, financial sectors, could do. They were basically placed in a box. If you did insurance, you needed to sell insurance. You couldn't do insurance and retail banking and investment banking. And the wall between, a number of experts have called into question the wall that was removed between retail banking, you know, just serving the public through deposits and investment banking, and have questioned whether, had that wall still been up, some of the problems we saw with the securities industry would have occurred.
I want to make, because there's two important issues here, and I want to touch real quickly on the income equality. I do think that some of the income equality has been driven by subsidies we give toward not just financial services, but to real estate in general. And the importance of this is that we decided to, over the last decade or so, invest in a housing bubble. Asset bubbles do not increase productivity, which increases wages. So you don't see wage growth by bidding up housing prices does not ultimately make us richer when it busts. The part of Glass-Steagall that I think is important, and my own sort of principle, is that deposit insurance is not entitlement. If you want to limit risk that's taken around deposit insurance, I think that's legitimate, but there's almost no evidence. I mean, Lehman, Bear, they were not depositories. You cannot look at anybody who would have made a difference on.
Mark Calabria, he's at the Cato Institute, Maya Jackson Randall of Dow Jones Newswires, and Travis Plunkett of the Consumer Federation of America. We shall see what happens to the Consumer Protection Bureau and whether it actually becomes reality. Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehn.